Okay. There he goes.
Bye, Joe Biden.
Bye-bye.
Hey.
Straight into the trash.
Yeah, where he belongs.
So I posted that yesterday, and someone on Instagram was like, that is so unnecessary. You're so mean. I'm like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Really, people like that, just understand that your gay crying is not going to work in 2025.
Why are you gay?
Why are you gay? Look, I mean, get over it. We've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. I've also got some news over here. Bitcoin Butt is with us. He is a regular in the comments section and somebody who has quite a lot to say about a number of things, including Bitcoin. And I thought this might interest you. There's some stories about Bitcoin today.
Okay. Okay.
Apparently, the Bank of America, this is just breaking news, ready for crypto.
Yes.
So this is what they say now. That Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan has indicated that the U.S. banking industry is poised to adopt cryptocurrencies for payments should regulatory conditions be favorable. And I think they
this
will
is inevitable,
be.
Inevitable to happen.
Do you know who Trump's crypto czar is?
Oh, man.
You should know this.
I should know his name, but I don't know.
A guy called David Sacks.
Oh,
he's
David
a South
Sachs,
African.
Yes.
And he started a number of businesses over there in America. He's a venture capitalist now. And obviously, he was recruited by Trump to come in and help him make crypto great again.
But it's not a good start, to be honest.
Oh, really? You're not happy?
Well, the meme, the two meme coins, Melania and Trump meme coin,
like
the guy before the SEC of the Federal Reserve, if I'm not mistaken, Gary Gensler.
Yeah,
he
nobody
was
liked
like,
him.
Yeah, nobody liked him, but he like kept all the stuff out. He tried to keep it out, but he also suppressed
crypto in general.
Crypto a lot, yeah. Mm.
So apparently the statement follows broader discussions in the financial sector about integrating blockchain technology along with various banks globally who are now showing interest in digital assets despite regulatory hurdles and varying international policies and cryptocurrency adoption. So it's always going to be a subject for discussion.
But do you know that in South Africa you can go pay at Pick and Pay using cryptocurrency?
I know.
Yes. So it's not a new thing. Digital currency is not a new thing. It's just now it's different. It's decentralized. I'm talking Bitcoin only.
Yeah, sure.
It's decentralized. It's capped. You can't make more of it. So there's no inflation. It's a deflationary currency. It can't be manipulated. And more than it can do more than that. It can stop corruption.
Anything that they can stop corruption with is a big plus here.
Yes.
So speaking of corruption, you know, Cyril Ramaphosa, two State of the Nations ago, he said they're going to build this beautiful smart city, you know, 84 billion rand smart city in Modderfontein.
Yes.
Okay, so let's take a look at how that's going. First of all, have you got pictures of what it should look like according to what they spoke about? Because we were going to do it with the Chinese, right? Zendai Development. And they were going to start putting everything together there. This is what it was meant to look like, right? So this the amazing facilities. Beautiful buildings that had never been seen before.
They can't even build that with Lego blocks.
Yeah, just take a look at some of these buildings, like what they were planning. And then, can we show what it's looking like now? All right, so here's how Modderfontein is looking right now. These are taken just a day or two ago. That looks like a shit block of flats, if you ask me. What else have we got? Empty roads. Oh, wait, there's just overgrown stuff around the Gautrain. Roads that go nowhere. Great. Pipes put across the roads that go nowhere.
Stop people from going in there.
Yeah. And lots of for sale signs all over for property, for industrial property, commercial property. I don't think anyone's been on those roads. They're like four tire tracks there.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't regard this as a good investment.
Can you actually buy a property there? would you go to the ANC Lutuli House?
Would you want to is the question.
Well, if you look at one day in the future, somebody will build a shack there and then there will be a whole bunch of other shacks and then a small community starts. So if you early, you can maybe sell your plot for 5,000 rands.
Sure.
It's not a good investment.
Sounds great. Yeah. So this dates back to 2014 when the Zendai Developments decided they were going to build an $8 billion city. In 2015, they said market demand would drive the project. 20 years ago, nobody could have imagined Sandton would look like it did today. That's what he said then, which is what you're saying about the shack too. but I'm afraid things have kind of gone nowhere because on paper, it sounded like a great idea. Of course, before the Modderfontein new city plans, AECI, which used to own the land, that's the chemical business, they began developing small pieces of land. However, the distance between that place and Sandton meant it didn't appeal to many businesses and households.
Mm-hmm.
Changed when the Gautrain was launched. Then they saw an opportunity again, but it seems to have all fallen apart.
The Gautrain actually runs there, so...
Yeah, it goes right through.
Yeah, they can build a station there and something might pop up.
Let's see. You know, people didn't expect Stain City to be what it is.
Yes.
People didn't expect...
But there's money and security behind that.
Sure, but they, you know, there's also Waterfall. Look at how well that's done. Yes, so yes, there's still room for development and maybe it'll happen. And I feel that for people who have put money in there, I really hope you get your money back. But that's all going on as we speak. And we've got another State of the Nation for Cyril a little bit later on.
Cyril this smart month enough or in to Feb. Imagine a smart city.
Is Cyril smart enough? Yeah. There we go, from Elvis. Come on, guys. So there's some news. And then I also wanted to throw this in there because influencers, of course, are having a very hard time at the moment with the TikTok ban still being very much on the table. So here's an influencer. Just she looks for inspiration in nature. And, you know, sometimes even nature doesn't care about influencers.
Really powerful thing you can do when you're around the ocean is just ask the ocean to cleanse and clean.
Great. Just great. Even the ocean hates influencers. And it is still January, everybody. So
almost over.
Well, listen, for some people, it should have ended 3 weeks ago because they ran out of money. But I saw this. This was being passed around yesterday, and I thought, yeah, I'm sure there are lots of people who can identify with this. The Winnie the Pooh. Is it still January, Pooh? Yep, Piglet. It's still fucking January. So for a lot of people, looking at your bank balance going,
long walk
oh, my
to freedom.
God. Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing that everybody's talking about and can't get enough of at the moment is AI.
Uh-huh.
Language models can produce answers quickly, but often generate fabricated information, which is known as AI hallucinations. Oh, you've heard about this?
No.
Due to factors like insufficient or biased training data. And of course, the internet's full of nonsense as much as it's full of useful stuff. So there's a lack of grounding in real world knowledge, which you for a while, the machines aren't going to be able to replace us in.
Mm-hmm.
Inaccuracies in the sources. A recent case in South Africa highlighted this, an issue when a law firm presented non-existent legal citations that were sourced from ChatGPT. You know, the lawyers, the one thing that you would think is that the lawyers still have to go to the books and check for precedent, make sure that statutory law is consulted. No, straight onto ChatGPT.
So, trying to take the short road.
Yeah, the court criticized the firm for failing to fact-check the AI-generated information, calling their actions unprofessional and irresponsible. Despite advancements in AI, hallucinations remain a challenge, underscoring the importance of human verification. So lawyers, that means you still have a little way to go before you become redundant, but don't make yourselves redundant by going to ChatGPT in the meantime, because you will be caught out. And certainly don't charge us the kind of money that you charged us before you started using AI. If I found out that a lawyer I was using AI, I'd say a quarter of the price, please.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't even want to use a lawyer that.
No.
I would rather pay the money and...
Spot on.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get Nico in here. I want to talk to this guy. He's Nick Tomaides. He's a musician. He has shared the stage with legends like Antonis Remos. And he's keeping his fans hooked with his charm. He's got the vibes of a Mediterranean wedding, the charisma of a guy who's always first on the dance floor. And being a Greek Cypriot living in South Africa, he's got lots to tell us about that. So how long have I known you for? Is that a couple of years now?
I think so, yeah.
No, we haven't seen each other for ages, but it's nice to see you again. What are you drinking there? That looks like a...
Unfortunately, it's like a vitamin C.
Okay. I thought it would be more interesting. I thought you were having some ouzo first thing in the morning or whatever. So how are you, Nico? How's it going?
Right,
how's business? How's the music business?
It's January, it's, you know, very slow and
quiet time.
Quiet,
yeah.
I mean, January, I think, has about 100 days in it, so it takes a little bit of time.
Like I was saying just now, it feels like it, right?
It does, yeah, unfortunately. But, yeah, things are going all right. Business is picking up slowly. Grateful for any work that comes in this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
February is usually much better. You know, everybody's waking up kind of January time.
Right.
But yeah, it's picking up, fortunately. Some good orders this week. Hopefully February will be better though.
You know, good. Okay, so I don't know how much the Greek community has grown or shrunk over the years, but I was thinking about this just the other day. I was out for lunch and four of the people at our table were Greek. And this is in Pretoria. I know there are more Greeks in Joburg even than in Pretoria. But how big is the community in this country? How many weddings do you have? How many Greek events are there?
How many plates do you break?
Yeah, how many plates do you guys break?
All of them. Whichever ones you can find.
How big is the community in South Africa?
Surprisingly very large.
Yeah.
Surprisingly very large. I mean, when we do a lot of shows, there are a few thousand Greeks that come.
Yeah.
And it's surprisingly very big. And it's a nice Greek community. You know, I've had the pleasure, obviously, of performing for a long time. I've had the pleasure of meeting a lot of the Greeks in this country. It's also, you know, I was even chatting to my dad about it the other day where, you know, you go and you perform, but it's hello, hello, hello before you get on stage because you know everybody personally. You know what I'm saying? So it's nice to have met the Joburg Greeks, have met the Pretoria Greeks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Different, same people, of course, but different mindset.
Is there still a thing between the Cypriot Greeks and the ones from the mainland? And
I think there'll always be a conflict. I think there'll always be
because people care about it, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think, you know, when I was in school, there used to be like there would be arguments between the Greeks and the Cypriots in my grade, and it would be like, which side are you on? I'm like, listen, I'm half-half there. I can't actually take a side there, you know. So it would just be whichever side's winning.
So where Thomaides from?
So Thomaides is actually so it's either Thomaides or Thomaides. Okay. The way you said it's perfect. It's a Cypriot. So my dad's from Cyprus, my mom's from Crete in Greece. From Lethim, no?
So for the Cypriot side of the family, Sichamini Turkish, right?
100%. Actually, we don't, we're more into the Greek side. Over the years, we've kept more into familiar with the Greek side of the family.
And you said your mom's surname?
Her maiden name is Spandagos.
Okay, so where are they from?
So they're from Crete, from Lethim, no?
Okay, that's ancient.
It's a beautiful island.
I'd love to go and see Crete, island. Man.
And her name is actually, her name here is Sylvia, but her name, actual name is Argirula. Argirula, yeah. So my dad's also is lucky, but it's actually Paschali. So he got it from Paschalakis.
So what are yours?
Mine's just Nico Christos.
That's all. That's all we got. Christos.
Straightforward.
Second name Christos.
Christos, yeah.
Okay, wow. So tell me about the South African music industry, and in particular the Greek part of that, because there can't be a lot of guys who are able to compete with you unless they can speak because you have to be able to sing the stuff, know what you're singing.
Correct.
You have to know the music. It's different to everywhere else. You have to keep up with what's going on in Greece.
It's true.
You know,
hard to get backtracks.
Yeah, it's hard.
I mean,
to get
it's all
these
Greek
things.
To me at the end of the day. You know? I'm just joking, but you know, it's a difficult industry, and it was a difficult industry back then. You know, there weren't many Greek singers, and also not enough big Greek events to say, okay, maybe I should start in this industry. You know what I'm saying? So it was difficult. And I actually, a lot of it was because of the school I went to. I mean, I went to Sehete, it's a Greek school.
Right.
And I grew up in the Greek industry, and there was a Greek band at the time. And they asked me to come and rehearse and to try out for the Greek band. And I wasn't interested in music at the time. It wasn't something I think I
were
was.
Were people playing the bouzouki?
Yeah. We had Perikli Balabano was playing bouzouki and also Marco Vidali that used to play.
And who was your major competition in those days? Notis Vakanakis?
Well, locally or. you got it right.
I got it, right? Yeah, you remember him.
So, yeah, 100%. He's got a beautiful song, Genethia to Thanatos. So it's a
of course
very
I know
popular
it.
Zeb song where breaking plates, you know, sort of a
story.
But look, it's a difficult industry to be in. I think before COVID, it was a lot better.
Yeah.
I think post COVID, things kind of died out a little bit, unfortunately. But it's also now I'm kind of concentrating on my album at the moment. You know,
so that's exciting. I mean, I don't know what's happening in the music industry generally because I haven't been in it. Someone called me a couple of days ago. They're like, my friend's got a single. I'm like, don't tell me because what am I going to do? I don't have anywhere to play it. We don't play music.
Play it on the show and we'll see what the chat says about it.
No, well,
he'll probably never make music again.
Do we have any clips of Nico? Did you take? Yeah, get me some of those because we want to show people.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, no, that's fine.
But before we get into that, I love stereotypes don't come from nowhere. And I love stereotypes because they're often very funny and entertaining and true.
Yeah.
And the Greek wedding stereotype, this is a thing people have from my big fat Greek wedding.
Of course.
I've certainly been to two or three Greek weddings. They are so much fun. There is the breaking of the plates and all of that stuff. But the food is amazing. The music is great. People are always in a terrific mood. I can't say anything shit about a Greek wedding, but you must have seen some stuff.
The only thing that about a Greek wedding is the service is very long. So when you go to church, it's like three working days. You know what I mean? You're
really like crowns being held above their heads.
It takes time. I mean, look, it's not that bad. It's probably about 2 hours long, but it feels.
Do you have to do the singing sometimes in the church? Because
fortunately not.
Because I mean, I went to a Greek wedding the other day, where there was a guy who was singing the old Orthodox kind of chanting.
Yes, the chanting, correct.
With the priest. So the priest would say something and he'd go, no, 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 no.
Correct.
Or whatever. So that was quite cool.
I don't do any of that, but there's a lot of them, a lot of youngsters doing it as well. We went to a funeral the other day and a lot of youngsters are doing it. It's nice to see, you know. I was actually a Papadaki, which is an altar boy, back in the day when I was young. And I never, you know, I wasn't into music at the time, so I never really got into the chanting kind of scene. But
it's beautiful.
It's nice to listen to. You know, I don't understand anything they're saying in church, to be honest with you, because Greek and it's all like ancient stuff. And
I didn't either. No, it is. That's really ancient stuff.
It's hard to kind of follow, you know what I'm saying?
But, do you ever, because you get asked to sing at these weddings, obviously some of them the people you know. Yes. In fact, there must be lots of them the people you know. But do you ever, you know, also just join in and have like the time of your life as a guest sometimes?
You know, a lot of the times.
Or do you go in, professionally sing and get out?
So it depends. It depends on whose wedding it is. You see, after doing this for a very long time, eventually it becomes very difficult to, you become tired, put it in that sense. So sometimes also my set is normally at about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my God.
So it's normally very late because
I do
Zebekika. Yeah. And the drunk, listen, the Greeks are awesome when they're drunk. So it's not anything to stress about. You know what I'm saying? It's always a lot of fun being with them and it's a lot of fun, you know, break plates, they dance, they come sing with me on the microphone. Yeah. It's an experience. And a lot of the times I prefer that. So, you know, a lot of the performances where you have on stage, the bouncers don't really allow them on stage. And for me, I prefer to have
being
in the crowd with him.
You want Uncle Stavros coming up with a beer
like Ella,
break.
You know?
Hey, let me sing as well.
And sing and the wrong words so it makes me go off in time.
Stavros.
You want something unexpected.
The best is when they come and sing to me in my ear and they sing the wrong words and they sing off key and then I forget the words and then I start going sideways as well.
Oh,
and then I have to look at my lyrics and I'm blind and I'm like trying to read what's going on. I lost my line and then the crowd's like, it's this word. And I'm like, thank you. I appreciate it.
So, all right, so you said you were an altar boy, but then you didn't really get into that. So when did the singing start for you, when you auditioned for that band?
Correct. It was actually, there was a piano teacher at my school, and it was Vasso, and a very, very sweet person. And, you know, we've kept in touch all these years. And, you know, I used to talk to her about wanting to sing or trying out, but, you know, my parents were very business-focused. So in my mind, I was like, go business route, you know, sort of a scenario. And it was hard to kind of think of or see myself as a singer, if that made sense, you know. And Vasso said to me, listen, come and audition for the band. I think I was about 14 or 15 at the time, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm 30 now, just to give you an
idea. Right, so it's half your age ago.
Pretty much, yeah. So I auditioned for the band, and I got in with the band, and I think I auditioned with a song, Somamo, at the time. And I went on to doing, so it was Greek music majority of the time, but I went on to doing the contemporary crossover classical music. That was something, so I was a tenor vocalist and I did, you know, Josh Groban type music and so forth.
Right.
And I performed a lot with, you know, with local artists. I did the National House Stedfords. I actually won contemporary crossover classical music for the House Stedfords in 2012 when I was 18. Huh. And it was. I was also with June Krauss at the time. Shame she passed away, but she was my vocal coach.
I remember June.
June, yeah.
Yeah, I remember her.
And
she was vocal coach for a lot of people in South Africa.
Yeah, no, she was. I was with her for a while, and that, you know, from that, what happened was a lovely family. They contacted me to perform with the singers that came down from Greece, the Kavouras family, and they called me and said, "Listen, come and do the show." It was actually just to track back a little bit, it was actually interesting how it happened. So Antoni Ramos came down, and what happened was I was supposed to sing with him with the band on the day he came to the school, because on the Friday, generally the day before the show, he would come to the school and perform with the kids. And unfortunately, I couldn't perform with him because I was judging one of the SA championships for karate, because I've got my black belt in karate. Okay. So I was judging, and I couldn't get out of it because I was grading and I had to judge a few competitions to kind of get into the grading, you know, sort of a scenario. Anyway, so I was very upset. I was, you know, obviously being in the music and being in the music industry, and I was in the industry for a while at the time, I was upset that I couldn't get my chance to perform with him.
Well, you want to do more than one thing.
No, of course. But at the time, it was a massive thing for me.
You can't have everything.
But were you able to perform with this guy again?
Yeah, so I'm getting to that. So the next day was
Bitcoin,
obviously...
Yeah, Bitcoin, but don't fuck up this story.
So what happened was the next day I went to the show.
It's a big fat Greek story. Leave it alone. Okay.
So what happened was the next day I went to the show, the concert, and I was sitting there at the back with some friends, and I think my dad went and said to him to call me on stage or something sort. I can't remember.
And you're just chilling. You didn't expect it.
I was drunk. At the back, and I was sitting at the back with friends, and I was drinking, you know, drinking my sorrows sort of scenario. And here I hear my name on the microphone. So he says, "Puno Nikos Thomaides, where's Nico?" You know, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, "No, man, that can't be me." You know, I'm looking around, and my mates are like looking at me, and I go, and he says it again, and I'm like, "Shit, sorry, excuse my language."
No, you
so
can hear.
Yeah. I run to the stage. I get there. I'm drunk. I'm out of breath. And that was my first, you know, interaction or performance on a big stage. You know,
drunk.
What I'm saying? Drunk, tired, 2 o'clock in the morning. You know what
wow,
I'm saying?
Wow, man! And, I mean, that's a hell of an entry into the music world.
Yeah. So then after that, the organizers ended up calling me to open for the concerts, and it's been amazing ever since. I entered the Rising Star of Greece. When was it? About 8 years ago, somewhere there, and. It was such an experience. The Rising Star was like The Voice, pretty much. You know, it's a competition, that's out. And it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, Bitcoin, but didn't you enter Rising Star of Greece once? Yeah.
What, no, yeah. I'm no? not a
I
good
think
singer.
You beat me that
when you were naming that one artist, I thought you were making up words. Yeah.
No, not this Fakanakis.
Yeah, no, he's a famous singer. Yeah. So I entered the Rising Star and I did well then. That also kind of boosted the career a bit as well. And after that, I realized that you won't get anywhere in music if you don't work on your own songs. And I was always performing. I mean, I would do just over 100 shows a year. Every year it would be constant performing. And I wouldn't even think about doing my own originals because I didn't have the finance at the time to do my own originals. I just didn't know. You know, I got into the music industry as a singer. I didn't learn any instruments prior or anything of the sort. Okay. And fortunately, I was put in contact with an amazing composer this side, Hendrik. And we've been working on songs ever since. I just released a new song, Santa de Los, which is doing very well, about 6 weeks ago. And that was composed, it was written by a lyricist in Greece, Maria and Dimitri. They put the song together and they sent it to me and said, "Listen, we'd like you to work on the song." So
that's
a lot of
cool.
back and forth. Yeah, a lot of back and forth for about a year and a bit. And then eventually we released it.
Sure. So what you said you're working on an album now.
Correct.
Does that include that song?
It includes the song, correct. It includes, there's a set of a couple of, you know, English music was never a thing for me, but I started doing English music because obviously.
You know, covers and shit, right?
Yeah. Not covers, actually originals. I've released quite a lot of
originals.
Oh, you
have? Yeah. Okay, because I mean, people will also, drunk people at weddings especially, will say, do this song for me.
Correct.
And then you have to do that song.
Not always.
You can say, what do you say? Fuck off. What do you do?
I don't know it. I haven't learned it. I'm so sorry.
No, I don't know. I don't understand.
Yeah,
I don't know what you mean. No?
Yeah. Yeah, right, it's a lot of the times it's difficult. You see, we can't go and find the song on YouTube and just automatically know how to perform the song. You know what I'm saying? So if it's not rehearsed, unfortunately, I don't do it because I pride myself in a strong live performance and being
course.
Able to sing live. You know, autotune is not
and also,
my friend in this.
You're not
going to
you know? Take a song. You're not sure where the highs are and the lows are on that song. And you're
easy
not sure if you don't want to get embarrassed when you can't reach them.
Correct. I mean, even something as simple as happy birthday in English, you can mess up.
Absolutely.
Actually trying to sing it. You know what
I'm
saying?
No, for sure. And people are, you know, even the drunk people are judgy.
Yeah.
So Congo Chris says here in the comments, the best Greek phrase he knows. I'm not going to try and say it in Greek. But he says it translates to "there is trouble in the gypsy village," which basically means "who gives a shit."
Can you read that?
I don't have my glasses.
No,
I'm not even going
to
try.
Can't even read that. No, to be honest with you, try. My eyes are not. I'm getting old.
Then people obviously start talking about food.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so much here. So Slippery Pickle says worst Greek food is the olive wrapped in wine leaf. If I wanted to chew bits of weeds, I could do it on the side of the road. But Dave says dolmades, they're the best.
Dolmades, yeah, yeah. That's very nice.
So
I've actually got a tzatziki craze this time.
Man. Oh, man.
Of tizai tizaikai, sorry.
Yeah, because that's how that one woman says it, right?
Pronounced it, yeah.
That's you're
the
chef.
Neighbor that I complained about, that I argued with Trump, she's actually Greek, and she made a tzatziki for Christmas.
Oh, that's nice.
Very nice. Slippery Pickle must hate tzatziki because he's a pickle.
Yeah, that's true. But listen, there's nothing better. You go for metze at some Greek restaurant, you'll eat, that everybody's happy. There's always food left over at the end of it because you ordered too much, and you go home satisfied.
That's the nice thing about Greek food. It's, you know, even
and
when
Greek
you go to
people,
Greece,
man.
Yeah, correct. It's
what, to be fair,
what's dolmades? I just saw it.
Dolmades is the vine leaf with the
is it? Okay.
Sometimes they use.
That's not, that's not the best.
Yeah, I know.
It's an acquired flavor. You got
spanakopita is nice.
Tiropites is like spanakopita with tiri, with cheese.
Yeah, that's the one. And then you get souvlaki is very good.
Correct. Gyro, I don't know.
Gyro,
okay, Jaro, I don't know. Yes. I made a lot of that on the cruise ship. Oh, I had to, like, then they would line up buckets of, is it pita?
Pita.
Line up buckets of pita. Then I have my lettuce and my tomato and all that stuff. Now and the pork. And correct. Now I have to put all this together, but for 80 to 100 people.
No, that's look, it's nice to have. Actually, I don't know if you've ever tried avolemoni.
Mm-mm.
It's translated as an egg lemon soup, pretty much, but it's not. It has egg and lemon
sounds
in it. But
revolting.
It sounds revolting. It sounds terrible, but it's one of the best tasting soups. It's rice and chicken, pretty much. And what you do is you boil the chicken. You put once the chicken is boiled, you use the broth. You put the rice in. Uh-huh. You put a chicken stock just to make it a bit more flavor. Yeah. Then afterwards, what you do is you take the avgada, the eggs, and you mix it with lemon, and you mix it. And while you're mixing it, you take the soup, the hot water, and you put it in, but you keep stirring so it doesn't curdle the egg. Uh-huh. And then afterwards, you put it all back in the soup, and then it makes that avolemoni. But it's honestly, it's amazing.
That sounds pretty good. He's a chef, so
I'll send you the recipe.
Yes,
no. And yuvarlakia. It's also more or less the same kind of concept, but it's with meatballs and rice. So you boil the meatballs and the rice, and then the rest is kind of the same as avolemoni.
Congo says Kleftiko is his favorite.
Kleftiko, yes.
Stolen sheep or slow cooked lamb.
Correct.
Kleftiko, like that. Very That's nice. Very good. Okay. And baklava, souvla. Someone says here is very, very good. Souvli?
Souvla. You know, the
yeah, that's when
correct,
you cook
it. That's a very popular one as well.
All right. So tell us quickly, when it comes to like the language, you obviously, when you went to Saheti, you correct. Said so you can speak fluent Greek.
To a point.
No, I mean, how much? I know we've got those schools that teach Greek.
Correct.
And obviously people grow up learning from their parents.
Correct.
But, you know, it's not like for the French, for example, they have their Alliance Française or whatever. And the Italians, do the Greeks have anywhere other than the schools where they speak Greek and in the household?
You know,
are there clubs? Are there?
Yeah, churches, clubs, venues, you know, obviously. Being amongst the Greeks, you spend a lot of time with them. I also think it's also up to you to take the initiative to learn. You know, when I was in school, I didn't see a point on learning Greek. You know what I'm saying? My family was Greek, correct, but I didn't take to it as much as, or I didn't see the importance of it as much as obviously I do now.
Mm.
And I wish I took it more seriously. Don't get me wrong, I did very well in Greek. It wasn't like I was bad at it. Obviously, grew up Greek family, and mom and dad spoke fluent Greek.
Yeah, but I mean, I know some Greeks who are very, very good and can speak it fluently. And then I know some who, like the other Greeks, start talking to them and they go,
they're confused. Yeah.
I don't know what the hell to say.
Correct. You know? It's also,
so it is. It's up
depends
to
on their surroundings.
It's up to everybody.
Well. Yeah, you see.
I am amazed, and I want to give some credit to the Greek community in this country because they're solid. I mean, like, They're proud of their heritage. They speak the language mostly. They do things together as a community. Really? I mean, I can't say I have anything like that. I don't know about you, but I don't have like a community.
Yeah, no,
it's not like, you know, there's enough Afrikaans or English or German or French or anything in me for me to be able to join one of these communities. So I'm just like on my own.
If I wanted my community, because I'm Afrikaans, I'd probably have to move to Urania. No, it's true.
I think a lot of close. You live in Centurion. I mean,
there's a like a similar type of Urania in Gauteng. It's called Klipfontein.
Really?
Yeah, Klipfontein.
And what are the
they? I don't know. I don't know. I just know. I know someone who bought property there.
Really? Well, last time I saw you was probably in Centurion.
Yes,
at the gym. There we go.
With my wife that time.
Which one? There's many.
That's right.
The one by...
I don't want to know.
You know that restaurant there around the corner? It was that one there.
So Slippery Pickle says, I know someone who teaches Greek. She stays on top of the corner shop she owns, which is in no way stereotypical.
It's the general drama, correct. I think also, I mean, just as an example, my wife is from Centurion side. And, you know, very Afrikaans. And my wife obviously grew up in that area. And it was, I mean, it must have been difficult for her to keep up with the Greek community. That's because, you see, I went to Greek school, so it's different. But even so, growing up, you know, her parents took her to Greek school, like an after, you know, lesson sort of a scenario.
So she is Greek.
She is Greek,
But she didn't grow up Spanish. Like you did, right in it.
No, her mom is Spanish and her mom is Greek. Oh, her dad is Greek, sorry. Okay. And, you know, they kept the Greek side properly, sure. Which is nice. And, but yeah, my wife is as Greek as it gets. You know, she's got the Spanish look with the Greek as well.
Good mix.
But yeah, a very good mix. And I think she's...
Just watch her when she turns like 40, 50 and she mustn't put on like a scarf and start sitting in front of
like the old yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The full Greek, exactly, the black. Yeah, that's also true. So she's kept up with it and she knows fluent Greek as well. Wow. And she's very in with the Greek music. And that's kind of how we clicked, you know, also being in with the Greek vibe of South Africa. You know, it's different.
If you want to become part of this, you have to immerse yourself in it.
You have to. You have to learn Greek.
Yeah.
Correct. You have to eat a lot of souvlaki.
You
have to eat a lot, full stop.
You should want to do it.
You should, yeah. Correct. Look, it's something, like I say, you know, your parents don't have to be Greek. Well, if your parents are Greek but don't, they're not, you know, very Greek, if that makes sense. They don't speak fluent Greek or I don't even know how to put it, but practice being Greek, if that makes sense.
Peter Yulanu wants to know, when is the album release?
To be honest, I'm not releasing the album entirely.
You're going to release singles?
Release singles, yeah.
That's fine. Yeah, then
it'll be better.
Give him some, where do you mostly get the music? Where must you get it?
Instagram, I saw some stuff.
Instagram and TikTok and my YouTube channel.
Because that's all changed too. It's not like you buy the music from the...
Everything's changed.
No, now
there's no more CDs.
It's all online.
Nothing.
If I can give you some advice, start uploading on X. You'll get way bigger reach there.
It's also true.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, these days, anywhere you can, right? Use as many platforms as you can.
Yeah.
Didn't Saheti also produce the best matric results in 2024, says Carl. The Poras didn't open churches, they opened bottle stores.
The Greeks did.
He can say that because he's a Pora. But yeah, Saheti does have good results. They're always up there every year.
Very good.
And then Raven is looking for a fight here. So let's go. She says, there is always lots of Turkish food that the Greeks say belongs to them. Turkish coffee, Greek coffee.
Correct.
Turkish, dolmades, dolma, Turkish baklava,
see,
Greek
dolma
baklava.
Is from the Greek word dolmades.
Of course, And then Greek yogurt. I mean, there are lots of things, right?
It's slightly
different.
The Turks
claim stuff.
So slightly different. I think the Turks, well, they've got a version of tzatziki, but it's got dill inside. So it's like a different... I mean, I went to a Turkish restaurant with my wife the other day, and it tasted very similar.
You went to a Turkish restaurant?
I went to, don't tell my father.
Yeah, don't tell your dad.
He doesn't know. But we went the other day, and it had a bit of dill inside, so a different flavor. You know, it all comes from Greece. We all know that, you know, everything.
Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah.
No, I'm just joking.
There's my favorite Greek joke in the whole world. Is Aristo. He lives on the top of the mountain in a small village on an island. He says, you see those houses there. I build those houses with these hands. Do they call me Haristo the house builder? No. So the kid goes, tell me more. He says, you see those ships in the harbor? I build those ships with my own hands. Do they call me the ship builder? No. is but fuck one goat.
That's a good one, actually. Terrible, but good. That's true. I think there's always going to be a stigma with the Greeks, and everything's invented by the Greeks, and you know, well, it's always like that.
Listen,
they did do a lot. They did
huge amounts. Correct. I was talking just last week about how democracy, total Greek invention, back in the time before Pericles in Athens, where every man would vote. They figured that out. Anal sex, also the Greeks, all the food, the music, drama, poetry, all of this stuff, the great epics. If you really want to have fun, read the Odyssey, you know, and I believe they're going to be making a movie on that soon, a big, like large scale, big budget Hollywood movie they're going to make that really monstrous. So that I'm looking forward to. And Raven says the Greek men are much hotter than the Turkish men, so she can say that.
All the anal sex.
Thank you.
Who knows? But let's play a couple of like clips from Nico's stuff so we can let people see.
Hey, and it's the good ones.
Yeah, no, don't make it the shit ones. There are no shit ones. Come on, Nico, let's not be like that. Let's take a look. So tell us what the hell's going on there. For people who don't know, they'll think this is a ritual sacrifice or something. So what is going on? What are you Greeks up to?
So essentially, Zebekika is it's the drunken dance. It's more, you know, you can learn how to do Zebekika, but it's not something that is easily taught. It's more something that you learn growing up. So
the drunken dance you learn how to when you grow up,
pretty much.
Didn't you also learn to drunken dance?
You know, I don't really know the history too much about Zebekika, but pretty much how you dance it is basically you're falling and you're trying to keep yourself up, essentially. You know what I'm saying? So if you look at like a lot
of Zebekika, you get that in Chabins a lot.
Yes, correct. So you'll look at it and think, what the hell are these guys doing? But in actual fact, it's Zebekika. That's the one where they break plates and so forth. So that is Zebekika.
What type of Zebekika do you get in Boxburg?
I'm not sure. I don't think you get it.
The rough ones with a lot of Bronnevane, and when they light the alcohol on the floor and they break the plates. That's all part of it.
Yeah, and you've got to be careful not to break the specific plates.
Yeah.
Not porcelain ones. You've got to break the clay ones.
No, they got those ones that they sweep up and then they make new ones again.
I was performing once and my mate came to me and they broke the porcelain ones from the kitchen and he smacked on the ground and went straight through his hand and he's and you go to hospital and I'm singing. I'm looking at my words and I'm looking at this.
Blood everywhere.
Everywhere. It was bad. All over the floor. And it wasn't just him that cut himself. So it's a dangerous, you know, in Greece, they've actually stopped breaking plates. It's not something that's
the health and safety people have got involved.
Correct. Yeah, most probably. So now they throw flowers. So now when you're on stage, they throw it at your face and that's lekker. It's a lot of fun.
But it's not the same.
It's not the same. It's not the same. So I'm glad that we've kept that.
How, like for someone that's not Greek, if you go to a Greek party, how do you know which plate to break?
They must give it to you. They must give the plate
it's
doesn't look nice.
As well. Yeah, okay. No, so you can't eat off of it.
It's not a clay plate. No. It's like a clay. It's cracked, partially cracked as well. It's not anything fancy. And then it comes in a box. So if you see it on your table, don't use it. But they'll give it to you. Huh. Generally, they'll throw their box in the middle and then you'll grab there, break it, smash it on someone's head. We've done a lot of things. It's been interesting.
Okay, so when the song you were singing there?
What was the song?
You remember what it was?
But I am Greek.
Talk about straightforward, eh?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So it's also a famous song, very popular.
All right. What are the most popular songs that you're almost sick of performing that they always ask for?
You see, the most popular ones have a little bit of history for me. So
go on. I love that.
There's a song that was one of my first Greek songs that I started singing, which is Somamo, which means my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've been doing it since the school, you know. My friends used to mock the lyrics, and I used to go on stage and sing the wrong lyrics. They used to say, "Someone with elifagito," which means my body wants food, you know, sort of a scenario. So it's, you know, but just the history part of it, this was one of my dad's favorite songs.
Uh-huh.
And every time when I was young, at every single event, my father used to dance Zebekika to the song.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's now, although I've performed it thousands of times, it's still
love it.
Every time I sing it, I just think of my dad dancing Zebekika. It's just brings back
that's
those memories, you know. And then there's also Yenethlia, which is also very famous, also by Svakianaki. And this song was Matric song of the year. And Matric loved it. And every time I perform it, I think of Matric and I think of the vibe that we had, because what was nice was our grade was predominantly Greek. And even if they weren't predominantly Greek, I mean, one of my mates, Faith, he's a black guy, he's not Greek.
Mm.
He's a fantastic Zebekika dancer.
Like, really?
He dances Zebekika, got involved.
Shit, I want to see
he
that.
He jumped in, I think, a matzle or something.
But like, like Bitcoin Butt said, I mean, at the Shabins, you pretty much learn to drunk dance as well. It's a little bit of skill, but mostly just falling around.
Correct. Yeah. Predominantly correct. Yeah. You know, you just got to keep yourself back up. You know what I mean? So a lot of the songs have a lot of history for me. And there's also Espose Nikta Yokomatia, which is also a very popular song that I used to do. That was my mom's favorite song. So unfortunately, my mom passed away from cancer a couple of years
back,
pancreatic. And I battled to sing that song for a very long time, very, very long time. And even when I sit in studio and I try and rehearse it, I battle. Because you just cry, you know, 10 seconds in.
Because this is the thing about music, is you associate it with memories.
Yeah.
And it makes you think of people. I mean, that's why I love music so much. The only time I do cry is when I'm listening to songs that are really important to me, that have deep meaning and, as you say, history.
And when you're singing it and you're emphasizing, I mean, a lot of the time, I mean, a lot of people talk to me about it, you know, do you understand what you're saying? Most of the time I'm like, no, I don't even get the chance to listen to the translation. Sometimes I'll learn the song without even knowing what the song is about, not even bothering with what the song is about because of the passion in the vocal. You know what I'm saying? So it's, you know, certain phrases and certain melody lines that you project that, I mean, even to this day, I've been singing songs for a long time that I'm going through the lyrics and I'm like, oh, that's what it means, you know, because I don't actually read it. I listen to it for a very long time. It sticks in the head, and then you go and you perform the song. And it's something that has stuck with me. It's I've never really changed the way that I've learned the music. Also, sometimes you don't have time to learn the actual true meaning
of
the song.
But it is nice when you find out what a song means.
Correct. It is.
You know, you play it for the first time and
correct.
And you kind of get into who wrote it and why they wrote it. I love watching those YouTube videos of like the first performance of X by whatever artist. And we got into this the other day about concerts that people really love going to in South Africa. What sort of music do you listen to when you're not listening to Greek music?
To be honest with you, I pretty much only listen.
Only?
Actually,
you have to. It's like your research, right?
Correct. But it's also, I grew up listening to it only. I mean, my wife only started introducing me to English music as I started getting older. You know, I was into English classical and Italian classical when I was younger.
Yeah, because you could do a bit of opera and
correct,
all that stuff.
Correct, because I used to do it. Now, I listen to more the Italian, French, you know, I can't even think of names of artists now, but like Maître Gims, he's also, I think he's from Congo. He's a French singer from Congo, and he's made it very big in France. And
who are the biggest Greek singers in the world right now?
At the moment, the top singer at the moment is Konstantinos Argyros, also a famous singer, well, massive in Greece. He came down now, I think, the year before last year. There's also Antoni Remo has always been
he's
one of the legends. You know what I'm saying? Plutarchos is also one of the legends. Vertis is also, Nikos Vertis is one of the top at the moment.
And women? It's not really a thing.
It is, but it's
in classical music, sure it is. You know, you've got the big names like Maria Callas and people like that.
Correct.
But it's not really a big thing with women singers.
The big singers like Anna Vissi and all of them.
She's very crossover, Anna Vissi.
Yeah, she's jumped into a bit of new stuff as well, which is nice. It's nice to see her with the youngsters performing as well. She's done a few shows with some youngsters my age, a bit older.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to, you know, Greek music is predominantly male vocals. there are a lot of female okay, I'm also saying it from as being a male vocalist. So I predominantly listen to male vocals because I perform. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm sure as a female vocalist, you would predominantly listen to female vocalists. But, you know, there are some beautiful songs. I mean, there's a song, Enafili, that I've actually been singing a lot lately. It's very passionate. It's by Argyros, the singer that I mentioned earlier, and Theodoridou as well. So it's a duet, a beautiful song, and it's very passionate and emotional. You know what I'm saying? And it's nice to get that combination of male and female vocals. You know what I'm saying?
That's beautiful. They're learning like a duet.
They don't do it a lot. They don't do it a lot, which is unfortunate. But lately they've been doing some nice duets. And I think, you know, each vocal is different, male and female vocal, and they help each other. You know what I'm saying?
They come together correct. Very well.
Like, I love doing duets. I love performing with other male and female vocalists because it really gives you an opportunity to listen to the different types of Greek vocals.
And do you get people who are not Greek who also want to come and see you at perform it,
correct?
Concerts,
plenty.
The rest of it, they buy your music.
A lot of my friends are actually non-Greeks and Portuguese and Italians, and they all want to come and listen to it. They enjoy the vibe. They enjoy the experience. Also,
because there is a vibe to it. You got some more of those clips? Play us one more. Yeah, let's go.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy?
All right, very good. That's I mean, it's beautiful. I love it. It's tough, and you sing difficult songs too.
No water tune, just yourself.
No.
This is the thing with all of my TikTok and all of my Instagram. I mean, I used to go through the process of sitting and recording in the studio and doing rehearsals, I mean, recordings, and sit and edit and then post. And I didn't feel the passion from it. And although the quality of audio is not the same, obviously, recording live, I just feel that singing live is extremely important. A lot of singers nowadays
Most of these people,
auto-tune's their best friend.
Most of these people you see on social media, all nonsense. They've had someone audio engineer the hell out of it. Sounds much better than it does in real life. And then when you see them in real life, you're disappointed. At least with you, the opposite's true. The people come and see you, they go, oh, wow, this is amazing. So, all right, what happened to your ear? Okay, what the hell happened there? Half the ear list is missing there.
This side of the ear.
But did you and Trump go to the same rally in Pennsylvania?
Mine happened before Trump.
What happened?
My dog bit it off.
Jesus, what kind of dog is this?
I've got a pit bull.
Oh, right. My God.
Yeah, obviously
they shouldn't be pets. They should be kept in zoos.
Look, my dog is old. He's not a baby. He's 9 years old. I've had him since pretty much 6 weeks. And it was just a mistake incident. I went behind him. I gave him a hug and I tightened and he barked. And when he barked, he turned his head towards me and it clipped on the ear and I pushed him and it ripped off.
So, are you kidding me?
Yeah. So this actually happened last year. It was, I think, May. May last year.
Was there a lot of blood?
Plenty. Listen, I almost had to do blood transfusion. Like, I bled out a lot.
Was there someone else at home?
My wife was home, fortunately.
So she could rush you to hospital.
Shame. She was actually in her pajamas, and she freaked out seeing it, obviously. And I thought my finger came off initially because when I pushed my dog off, shame, he laid there. He didn't try and attack me or anything of the sort. He just laid there. He knew he did something wrong. In the moment when it happened, I said to him, go outside. He got up and he walked outside. He wasn't disobedient. He wasn't disobeying, nothing.
Got the gun and then you shot him.
To be honest with you, it was a thought in the moment because I always keep it on me. It was a thought in the moment. Yeah. And the thing is, because I thought, if this dog flips and comes for me, I'll have to, unfortunately.
You're going to have to kill him.
Do what I don't want to do. You know what
you
I'm saying?
The people who breed sharks with dogs should have known this when they made it.
So my wife was home and she freaked out and I was trying to find my keys and I put
what do you got holding? You're holding
a towel on the ear. I grabbed the kitchen towel, put it on the ear and I'm bleeding. But initially I thought it was my finger. So when I looked at the piece hit the floor, I thought it was my finger. Oh. So I'm looking because what happened was my nail broke off when I when I pushed him off me, had clipped his collar. And my nail came off, and I thought, shit. And then I see a piece on the floor. I'm looking at my hands, and then I go into the microwave, and I have a look, and I see the piece is missing. Obviously, I freaked out, you know, because I thought the whole ear came off. I didn't – the ear actually contracted quite a lot, and I thought, like, he ripped the whole thing off.
Yes.
And, you know, anyway, so I get to now we recently bought a new house, and the house is – it's massive. To try find the keys was a nightmare. I ran downstairs, ran upstairs, ran downstairs.
And you panic in that moment. It's
you
panic. Like, it's
adrenaline
like when you wake
kicked
up.
In, so I was fine. But then when I got into the car, I realized, rather don't drive. Now, I buy Linksfield, though, so I'm literally like one.
Because you would have, could have passed out behind the wheel.
This is the thing. So I phoned my neighbor, Alan Shamer. Fortunately, he came running, and he helped me out. And he got in my car and drove me to the hospital. I walk into the hospital, and I said to the lady, you know, I'm missing my ear. No, please take a seat, you know. And I said, look, I'm, you know, blood all over me. The lady almost passed out when she saw it. I pulled it off. And I said, it's fine. Don't worry. I'll take a seat. I was pissed off. I turned around. And as I turn around, this guy just grabs me because you could see that I was
going to pass out.
You know, at that moment, I realized I was at the hospital.
Yes,
whatever happens, they will be able to help me. And the adrenaline just dropped. And I just, you know, went straight down. I'm sitting there. She's taking blood. And I'm like, you know, she's asking me 101 questions and I'm not even there. You know what I'm saying? And then she tries to do the arm and she couldn't fit it. And she had to get the thing and the one for the leg. And she put it. And I said to her, you know, can we just go into the room? You know, and she says, sitting there, no, I have to take all your vitals first. And I'm like, okay, you know, and I'm gone. You know what I mean?
Look, I understand. I mean, I know that they have to make sure that you can pay for everything, which the whole reason that's what they're asking. Let's cut to the chase. They want to know that
correct.
You can pay
correct. If
and
you
then
can
they'll fix
it.
You.
Correct.
If you can't pay, you must fuck off to a government hospital.
This is the thing.
But
in that moment, you're not thinking about, did I take my wallet? Do I have my cards?
I mean, really?
I mean, my ear's missing. Yeah. I'm bleeding out. You know, fortunately, my wife and my dad were there. My neighbor was there. So they helped with the whole situation. But if they weren't and you went in on your own, it's the last thing you're thinking about. Sorry, Thea, what's your medical aid number?
Yeah.
No,
I'm sitting there and I'm like,
you're like, you can't remember whether it's Monday or Tuesday.
Correct. You know, you're lucky I gave you my name at this point. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, look, it was a traumatic. Look,
but they couldn't put the piece back on.
They couldn't because the whole piece came off. And apparently it's very difficult to attach the
cartilage.
The nerves and things.
Cartilage is very difficult.
Cartilage as well. Yeah. It was actually quite a hectic year for us. Shane, before my ear story, about 2 months before that, we got a little puppy, Pitbull.
You've got it. When are you going to learn?
Shame. You know what? As much as there's a lot of hate towards him, my Pitbull is the best dog I've ever had in my life. He's the most obedient dog. And I can even say to this day, even with the ear, I mean, when I told my friends, they're like, not Hercules. His name's
Hercules.
Yeah, of course. It's impossible for that dog to act that way. I mean, he gets along with my cat and he's like,
yeah, you sound like those women who keep going home to the husband who beats them. I just don't, you know,
it's hard.
Quit
it's,
while you do. Just stop with the.
It's hard.
I can promise you, my dog might do all kinds of terrible things, but the one thing that dog can never do is bite off my ear.
What dog do you have?
It's a tiny little spaniel.
See, it's too small to get there. You see that?
No, well, this
is
the point.
But you know, the most aggressive dog in the world is actually Chihuahua.
Well, them and Dachshunds are apparently very young.
No, every time I see
but
a Chihuahua,
still, you don't hear horror stories about Dachshunds and Chihuahuas
because they can't do anything about it.
Well, that's
they're
why you should.
But they tiny,
again.
If I live in South Africa, I'd rather have a pit bull than a little
it's
Chihuahua.
A security thing as well.
Well, good luck to you when your ear's gone as well.
It's a sacrificial thing. You just got to sacrifice a piece when you see.
Is the dog
thing.
Still alive?
He's still alive. He's still 100%. I haven't had an ounce of it.
Does he sometimes look at you and go,
absolutely nothing?
Looks a bit hungry. I'm hungry for that.
It's like I enjoyed that flavor.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he's been fine. He hasn't had an outburst. Nothing.
Got a big fright, probably.
He did. And shame, he was avoiding me for a while afterwards. Like, he was very skeptical. He wanted to, but scared. And I was also scared of him.
Yeah,
to be
of course.
I was terrified of the dog for a while.
Shock
and
a leash.
And I was between putting him down and keeping him for a very long time. It was bashing my head about it. And obviously, hopefully, you know, my worst thought was if something happened to my wife or friends that came over and all of that. And that was, I think, the worst part of it.
Have you now sorted out your shit with him?
Yes, yeah, I've sorted out. You know what I did? I held him down and choked him out. And then I think we asserted that dominance. He realized I'm bigger than
you
him.
You put the power
I
back.
Tried to bite his ear, but I felt bad. You know what I'm saying? So, but I held him down.
I think you should have taken retribution.
My revenge. And you know what's funny? When he was a puppy, you know, everybody likes to cut their ears. And I, my wife's like, don't cut his ears. You know, it's shame. I feel bad. And I also felt bad for the dog.
Now you think you should have.
Now I'm like, should have taken them all off. And his balls. Excuse me.
Well, those too. There's a lot of dissension about the pit bulls.
Yeah. Just to backtrack a little bit with a little puppy. Shame, we got a little puppy. And 3 days later, she had parvo. So she came to us with parvovirus. And it killed us. It absolutely demolished us. I mean, at the time, we were doing renovations. So we were between renovations and looking after the puppy and in and out of ICU with the puppy. Cost a fortune as well. But, you know, it killed us that this little puppy, she was tiny. She had no one. She had us to look after her, and there was nothing we could do about it. I actually wrote an English song about it. I know it's but, you know, these moments kind of boost the music motivation.
Parvovirus is a very big thing.
It's a big thing.
You know?
It's a big
terrible
thing.
Man.
And when she passed away, we actually were contacted by an adoption home for pit bulls, and they said, we've got one. Nobody's taking her, and we're worried we'll have to put her down. Also beautiful. Her name was Luna. We called her Luna. And I think a lot of what happened with Hercules was also because Luna was new in the equation, and he was confused and didn't know what was happening. And there was this, you know, it's like an alpha kind of a thing.
Keep trying to find someone to blame except the bloodthirsty monster on a leash.
Every now and then I just do the intravenous when I'm just kidding. You know, so anyways, and then after with Hercules, the adoption agency asked to take her back, the female, because they were worried that he hurts her. And at the time I was also a bit concerned about it. So. Oh, that was our year. So lost two dogs, had this story.
Okay, well, you know, at least they weren't, as someone says in the comments, Maltese poodles. No one likes those.
No, that's true.
You have dogs?
Yeah, we've got a Great Dane.
Oh, those are nice, man.
Yeah,
they're such lovely animals.
Very clumsy.
Yeah.
A Great Dane mixed with a Boerboel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's vicious. Yeah, she does not care where she goes. She's a black dog.
Huh?
So you don't see her coming.
You don't see her at night. Yeah, it's a problem.
She's scary. Yeah. And then Jack Russell.
And she must be big as well.
Yeah, she's
Great
a unit.
Dane and Boerboel.
She's a unit. Yeah, she's about I'd say around 60 k's around there. Yeah.
Hercules is 65. He's a gorilla.
Mm. That's a big dog, eh?
That's a big dog. Yeah.
And then my wife had beagles.
Beagles
they passed away.
Beagles are
really
cute
old.
As well. Yeah.
Mm.
I had Labradors and Jack Russells. And I still will go pit bull. I know.
Hope you gave the adoption agency an earful.
Shame. It was more of a mutual.
Yes.
They didn't contact me and say we're taking her back.
How did they find out?
Through social media, you know. Obviously, I posted about my ear story.
No, you are no good for this. Yeah. So we take back.
You see, this is the thing.
I immediately assumed the adoption agency guys are Greek as well.
Most probably.
Probably.
So anyways, they contacted me. They said, look, we're a bit concerned because if he did that to you, what will he do to her?
Mm.
And at the time, I was like, you know what? You're right. We don't know. He's an older dog. He's 9 now. And we didn't know how he would react. I mean, he's 100% with my cat, but then again, my cat is a thug, so she's evil. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, really?
No, she's like, my wife will disagree with me, but that one, she's the neighborhood gangster.
Wow.
She's hectic.
Okay, well.
I've got two cats as well.
They live
cat.
Happily with the dogs?
Yes. Get because along. Of me. I like.
My dogs got big scars because of her.
If you're the alpha, if you put your dominance down,
you
then.
You set the rules.
Everything's. Yeah, the chicken. Like I was gone this weekend.
The chicken. You also have a chicken.
Listen to this. So I was away this weekend.
He goes, the chicken.
Like it's a normal thing to just have a chicken at home. I do. I got in the freezer.
Chicken walks into the house now. Like I went away the weekend and next thing I come back, the chicken walks into the house. Fucking vacuums on the floor.
I wouldn't mind a chicken.
All right.
Actually.
So what's the hierarchy here? You, then
I'd say the wife. Me.
Okay, the wife is
a chicken. Then
you.
Then the little Jack Russell is
in charge of the bigger dogs.
Usually that happens, though. The small one's usually the feisty one.
She's the ears, so when she barks, the black dog comes, and then the Great Dane comes, but he stands like, he doesn't even go off the porch. He's like, woof. And everybody needs to know because there's a big dog here.
But isn't it weird that that's what happens in relationships too? You know, what, my wife is tiny and she's like, "Do this." I'm like, "Yes, man."
Yeah, well, you guys know how to. You don't want to cause trouble in that.
No, otherwise
you're going to end up very, very sad.
Yeah. Your wife
all
right, be laughing.
Listen, it's a pleasure to have both of you here today.
Oh,
what a fun way to start the day! Yeah, we've gone 7 minutes over. Are you kidding? People are saying they got to start their day. Bitcoin Butt, thank you very much, dude.
Lots
lovely to
fun.
See you. And thank you for visiting us, and thank you for the bread.
Big pleasure.
See the bread he made us. He bakes his own bread.
I didn't know you were coming.
Nicola, thank you very much. Nice to see you again, dude.
Thank you for having me.
And yeah, keep well and keep doing the work that you're doing. It's terrific.
I appreciate it.
Awesome.
Cheers.
Thanks,
cheers,
everybody. Guys. We will see you on Friday. Ciao.
Manners, how you finger at my honors. Do need so abnormal. Do need so animal. Manners, how you finger at my honors. Do weg die poot. Of je krijgt een stoot.
Oh Nel, ik ben biseksueel. Maar ja.